And welcome to a brand new episode of that 401k podcast. I felt like that's like the NBC, it's new to you, you know, when we have a repeat. But yes, I'm here with Dan Venturi. This week's topic, we're going to talk about the wrong reasons for changing your 401k plan provider. You know, I've written a lot of articles about why you should fire your TPA or your advisor, but this is a time where, you know, these are the reasons why you shouldn't actually fire, you know, your advisor or TPA. So, Dan, how are you?
Doing well, Ari. It's been an interesting week. Glad it's coming to an end. Looking forward to some basketball over the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. I've had a busy week, too. It was always great to see you and the bartender over there, Dan the bartender at our Cheesecake Factory.
Yes.
I always have to give a shout-out to him because now he comps me drinks, which is nice.
Well, but you're training, aren't you? You deliver him a couple of autographs every time you see him.
But there was no
quid pro quo.
Yes, exactly.
At least not established, right?
There was no quid pro quo. I'd never expected that. Just the fact that he was nice to do that just shows him what a nice guy he is. And speaking of nice guys, I got a shout out to my friend Matt, who I got today in the mail from FedEx 2 tickets to WrestleMania on Sunday. My daughter is super excited. I haven't been to WrestleMania since Boston, 98, with Mike Tyson being involved there. I got that looking forward to. I got a baseball card show tomorrow with our friend, Wade Boggs. I got to text Wade. Ricky Henderson will be there too. And, Lee Smith, who was our original guest, at Wrigley Field before he had to cancel. And who else? Robin Yount. Roger McDowell, Daryl, Dwight, the very first guest. And actually, I'm going to have Dwight autograph a picture of me and him from that first conference.
That sounds good.
So, speaking about conferences, we'd have to plug away at our conferences. Of course, next week is Atlanta. When you're listening to this, we'll be in Atlanta. Kansas City's after that is next on May 3rd, Kauffman Stadium. I am very looking forward to this just because I've never been to Kansas City and it's middle America, so there won't be an ocean near us. Usually when I go travel, there's an ocean or a lake, and there isn't an ocean or a lake. And as a kid growing up in the 70s, the stadium at the time named Royal Stadium was always something interesting. You know, that was a modern stadium for us kids in the 70s because we were used to the cookie-cutter Shea Stadiums, Veterans Stadiums, Riverfront, and Three Rivers.
So yeah, that's gonna be great.
And June 14th, we got the Denver Coors Field, Colorado Rockies. We got an event there, that 401k conference. That's going to be a lot of fun. Free tickets for the Rockies-Padres game that night. Just booked Cleveland for Friday, September 20th. I don't know if we'll have free tickets or not. We'll see how that's going to transpire. But that's a game that night against the Phillies. Dan and I will be able to go to the Rock and Hall of Fame and pay homage. I don't know if Dan's going to pay homage to, but I know, you know, Aerosmith, the Eagles, the Beatles, Fleetwood Mac, Kiss, Queen.
Queen, definitely. Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Can't go wrong with that.
Leonard Skinner.
I'll even pay homage to NWA, which, you know, as much as I love NWA, I still think, you know, again, it's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. These are great. They were great music, you know, great rappers and Run DMC, of course. But again, it is the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But, you know, that's the debate for another day.
I'll say that for another podcast.
Exactly. October 11th, we'll be at Foxborough Gillette Stadium, which is a lot of fun. I was there last week. That was a lot of fun. We booked Arlington, Texas for December 13th, AT&T Stadium, home of the Cowboys, which, you know, I will wear my Roger Staubach jersey, but, you know, go New York Giants.
I'll have a Giant jersey on underneath.
Well, you know, that'd be funny. I'll wear my LT jersey underneath my Staubach. I have the unlucky, the only Cowboys jersey I have is the unlucky blue ones. Remember the old blue that it was bad luck? It was such bad luck that the Giants wore the home, they wore whites that game when Joe DiNello hit the field goal in 81 to send them to the playoffs for like the first time since 63. So it's always weird to see the Giants wear white at home. But anyway, let's talk about the wrong reasons for changing your 401k plan provider. There are a lot of good reasons, but these are really the bad reasons. I think number one on my list is changing just because the other plan provider is cheaper. Listen, I'll hit it, you know, into the ground. Fee disclosure, plan sponsor, plan fiduciary, it's all about reasonableness. You don't have to pick the cheapest plan provider. It's all about getting a plan provider who charges a reasonable fee for the services provided. You know, and again, you know, you've been in the business long enough. When fee disclosure came into play, everybody thought there was going to be a race to the bottom, and only the cheapest plan providers were going to win out. And of course, that did not happen. And you know why? The cheapest plan providers, a lot of the times, aren't very good.
You pay for what you get. You get what you pay for, I guess, is a better way of saying that.
You know, it's like remember the old days before it became, you know, I remember the supermarket before the house brands, really, there'd be like No Frills.
Yes.
It would actually say No Frills.
Exactly. And it was all white. Like the cereal boxes are all white.
Certain products would say No Frills.
Yes.
And, you know, this is the day before, you know, Costco and Kirkland brand. And then, you know, it used to be a shame in the 70s and early 80s, mid 80s, to use like a No Frills product. You know, I still think there's like, there's no shame in it, but there's like no ad suntan, sunscreen or whatever. I've been buying that. But, you know, cheapest plan providers, a lot of them aren't very good. They don't provide the service that a plan sponsor really needs in terms of hand-holding, especially on the TPA side. And there's so many different reasons why you should change a plan provider, and just because somebody else is cheaper is just a recipe for disaster. I've seen it blow up in the plan sponsor's face. Just because somebody's across the street a couple bucks cheaper, you know, that's just not a good practice.
I agree entirely. I mean, you understand the consequences of what you're doing before you do it, right? I forgot, and by no means am I a science guy, but one of those laws of thermodynamics, the equal and opposite reaction, right? Something gained, something lost. Yeah, you might save yourself a few shekels, but you're going to, I mean, a few shekels in the short term, but in the long term, it'll likely cost you more because you're going to have issues, to your point, that'll spring up, you know, inevitably. You're going to likely end up moving again because you're not happy with that first choice. Just think it through. I mean, don't look at the shiny number. Think it through.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you have a good plan provider, whether it's a TPA or advisor or whatever it may be, and just going across the street to save a couple dollars, I think it's a bad idea. If you're really unhappy with the fee and somebody else is across the street $5 cheaper, well, not really $5 cheaper, but whatever it is, it's always good to have a discussion with the current plan provider and see if there could be a cut down in costs or, you know, there's nothing wrong with shopping, you know, around. Of course, it should be encouraged, but I just think that going across the street and just changing a plan provider just because someone else is cheaper is just a bad idea because you're not changing service for service. There may actually be, you know, a decrease in the level of service by using a provider that's cheaper.
Well, and the other thing too is always understand that the price provider's price new business wildly differently than they price existing business because they understand that, you know, once you're there, chances are you might not leave for a while.
Well, we see that all the time with well, at least here locally, Optimum. You know, cable versus Fios Verizon, you know, in terms of signing up for new service, they're cheap. And then after 2 years, you know, they double the price.
Yeah. Understand the different things that go into making that decision. And, you know, I mean, obviously we're speaking of plan sponsors now, just understand the consequences of, you know, racing to the bottom in terms of cost.
Exactly. Another reason, another bad reason to change plan providers, changing the providers because another provider said so. And this happens a lot, I find, with advisors who say, you know what, I'm new to this, I just took over this plan, I think you should move to this TPA. And they do that a lot of times because the advisor just likes to have his or her block of plans at a certain TPA. It does a lot of good for the advisor. It doesn't necessarily do a lot of good for the plan sponsor. Making somebody comfortable, making another plan provider comfortable by switching plan providers doesn't really help the plan sponsor out one bit, at least in my opinion, unless they're getting a tremendous break in fees. But again, most of the time that I've seen it, it's just an advisor or usually it's the advisor, because I think too many advisors out there see TPA services as just a commodity. They don't understand the value of it. They just see it as a price break more than anything else. Uh-huh. They don't understand that the TPA is really the linchpin deciding on whether the plan sponsor gets in trouble or not. You know, That's just my two cents.
I don't want to say something that can be misconstrued, but there's a lot of sort of we know better kind of in the advisor community. And I think that sort of plays into things sometimes. You know, they sort of need to be the alpha in the hierarchy there, and they want all their, to your point, you know, ducks in a row. And that combination, that sensitivity or sensibility rather, might not be in the best interest of the plan sponsor. Right. I mean, sometimes maybe it is an improvement, but sometimes it's not. Right. Sometimes things are just fine the way they are. You know, the advisor can come in and just let things run fine. Right. They won the business. Let's keep everybody in place, keep the engine running and minimize the disruption.
Yeah, and I think with technologies these days, an advisor can work with any plan provider, any TPA they want to really work with. You know, in the old days when everything was done on pen and paper, you know, it was a lot more difficult. But now with integration and technology standpoint and website access and all that kind of stuff, I think that there's no reason why a TPA should just be changed over just because the advisor says so. I mean, if the TPA is doing a good job, the fees are reasonable, you know, why upset it? And you know, it always reminds me of that story about my old law firm where when there was an advisor, she says, I don't think we should change the TPA for the sake of changing the TPA. And of course then they changed the TPA.
But and the she was
what?
Who was the she?
I'm not gonna name names.
Okay. I didn't know. I was teeing you up for a Lois.
No, I wasn't gonna mention
a Lois interjection.
She had nothing to do with it. So you know, it's very nice. It was what's her name? HR director who's involved with that. Pat, the HR director. It's just there's no reason why you should just change because the other provider says so. It makes them comfortable, but if it's going to upset plan administration or whatnot, don't change a plan provider just because another plan provider said so. There's got to be other reasons out there. Changing a plan provider is the next one. Changing a plan provider because a friend or family member wants the gig.
Oh, that's a bad one.
That's probably the worst on the list.
Not like a little nepotism for you.
And that's happened a lot. And I've heard of situations where a husband hired his wife as the broker for the plan. You know,
Did I tell you about the one with the private equity firm? CEO takes over. This is an old client of ours. CEO takes over, swaps everybody out. Health, welfare, retirement, everybody, right? Just ships them out. Puts his wife's firm in place. Private equity firm finds out about it. Gives the guy 2 weeks to explain it, or he's out on his ass. Suffice it to say, all the other the vendors were all restored.
My favorite story, similar in vain, was back at Geller. When I was at Geller Group, we work with a very well-known broker. out here in Long Island. And he did a very good job. And one day, it was an ambulance business. And one day he got fired as the broker. And all of a sudden, I'm like, that's weird, because he never got fired. And within a few months, he was rehired. Apparently, the HR director that we used to work with, she got fired too, because she got clipped because she ratted out the new, it was like a vice president or a CFO, who fired the broker and replaced him with somebody else, and the CFO was getting a kickback from the broker.
Oh.
Yeah. So the old broker, our friend, got the job back, and I'm still amazed by that story, but yeah, that actually happened, so.
Why'd the HR person get clipped?
She got clipped because she ratted, you know, that's what happens. You're a whistleblower. Whistleblowers get fired a lot of times.
That's a cautionary tale.
No, that's true. That's why, they try to offer protection for whistleblowers. Listen, it's a dangerous game to play.
Whistleblowers and rats.
You said rat. High. I would never compare a whistleblower to a rat.
No, I wasn't either. There were two different categories.
That's like a Goodfellas, rat is like, a Goodfellas thing.
Well, sure, but I'm saying the end game, right? I mean, maybe not quite as definitive, say, as the treatment that most rats get, is similar, right? I mean,
she did good, but a rat usually does something in order to save their own skin. She just did the right thing. That's not a rat.
No. I agree. If I came across as lumping the two together, I apologize. They were two different categories. It was just, I guess my point was that misfortune was bestowed upon both.
Oh, of course. But that's what happens, when you speak up a lot of times. Listen, I got exiled out of my synagogue because I spoke up, because my friend was going to be the secretary to the synagogue, and she had no secretarial experience. And she was a blabbermouth, so she would have told everybody's business of who gave what and all that kind of stuff. And I fought that. And let's just say I'm not the vice president of that synagogue anymore. Let's just say I'm not part of that synagogue anymore, but that happens. And let's just say I'm not friends with that person anymore, but that's a whole nother story. That's for my therapy sessions. Which
we have moved on.
Yeah, exactly. So, don't hire your cousin, don't hire your uncle as plan providers. Don't get involved. From my family experience, when family members go into business with family members, it doesn't end well. And in the plan situations, you may actually have caused a private transaction, depending on the nature of the relationship. And, every time you select a plan provider, it's got to be based on a fair process with rational reasoning, and just hiring somebody because they're related to you, bad idea. That's not rational. That's using a plan function and a responsibility to feed one of your family members' mouths. Another bad reason of hiring a plan provider in connection with that, very similar. Changing the provider just because you already do business with someone else. Let me explain. You have a bank that you work with, and the bank gives you a line of credit. And all of a sudden, the bank also does TPA services or does advisory services. And you feel the need that you should pick them because they, maybe you want to increase in your credit line. Maybe you just want to have everything under one roof. It goes with, when you want to have TPA services provided by one of your payroll providers, that sort of thing. That's not a good enough reason to fire your current plan provider. Just because somebody else who does your payroll also does TPA work, that's not reason enough to do that. Same thing with, hiring a bank as your TPA, just because, you do your banking there. To me, it's just not a good reason.
It's a terrible reason, and I've run across it several times when we were diligencing plans at Willis. It you'd be amazed at how often that actually comes up. I've been on call articles where people have flat out said it. You know, a horrible reason. Absolutely. It definitely does happen. I don't know what I don't know how to ameliorate the situation. I don't know how to prevent that from happening. You know, don't, if you find yourself in that situation, definitely don't admit to it. Cause it's that's a definite, bad, poor judgment from a plan administrator's perspective.
Oh, exactly. You know, it's a recipe for disaster, and it's just not something that you should be doing at all. But it happens quite a bit. And, you know, a lot of times plan sponsors think there's some sort of synergy, you know, like, for example, using your payroll providers, your TPA, thinking there's some kind of cost savings or, you know, something there that really doesn't really happen. You know, one roof shopping, you know, going to Walmart or going to Costco or Target and getting all your stuff there, great idea. In terms of retirement plans, not such a great idea. The purpose of, I've always said, of finding independent plan providers is that it keeps the checks and balances out there. So, you know, if you have a TPA that's separate from the financial advisor, they could look at each other and see what's going on when they couldn't really effectively do that if they're all under one roof. You know, that's, you know, just the way I see things.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. I mean, and that's me saying that as a 316/TPA.
Right, but you don't do, you know, asset advisory work or whatever.
Correct.
But, yeah, it's always, you know, something really to consider. Independence among plan providers to me has always been a big thing. And last but not least, so we're going to make it a short episode this week. Changing the plan provider because another provider is bigger. This always goes back to me. One of my favorite scenes in the movie Caddyshack is when Judge Elihu Smales, I've never met a guy named Elihu. He asks Chevy Chase's character, Ty Webb, how he measures himself against other golfers if, you know, Ty doesn't keep score. And so Ty says he can measure them by measuring himself against other golfers by height. And I think that, I mean, that's a funny line. And of course, Judge Smales is a, you know, tremendous slouch. But I think one of the biggest things out there is that when dealing with retirement plan providers, bigger doesn't mean better. Case in point, what's better, a burger from Burger King or McDonald's or a burger from In-N-Out, you know, or Shake Shack? Of course, you know, I mentioned Shake Shack. Bigger doesn't mean better. There's more to quality. And just picking a plan provider just because they're just larger, to me, it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, when one of the payroll providers show that they got the most plans under administration, to me, it's a useless statistic. It doesn't mean anything. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. No, that doesn't mean a damn thing. As you were talking and, you know, you kept talking about size doesn't matter, I was trying to come up with something witty. It was too good. It was just hanging out there. It was a hanging chad, but I didn't have anything that was clean enough to share.
Listen, it happens. You know, this is what happens when we do a podcast and we don't run it off a script. We think we're going to have a good idea. We have a good joke, and sometimes it just falls flat. Listen,
it just, yeah. Well, and there you go. There's another innuendo for you, bud.
No, listen, my wife accuses me anytime that I fight with people or like, yelling at people, whatever, that I don't have, that I'm not so quick witted or, you know, I really don't, you know, can have a quick retort. That might be the case. You know, that's why I I do better with the writing than I do with the speaking. I don't know.
Did I ever share with you the, so we were, you know, I'm a big Buckeye fan, right?
Of course.
Me and a buddy of mine went down to Maryland, which ties into the whole Skinner thing. That's when we saw Skinner down there. What's left of Skinner, right? There's not a whole lot left of them, but it put on a hell of a show. Anyway, we went to the game that day, and it was a nail biter. Maryland actually lost in double overtime on a dropped 2-point conversion. But sort of leading up to that, you know, the Maryland fans were starting to feel it, right? They were starting to believe. And that belief, coupled with a lot of alcohol, increased the tensions, right? There's the beginning of the game, everyone loved each other, everyone was happy, it was going to be a great day. And then when the Maryland fans thought they could win, you know, it became super competitive. So I was hanging out with these two guys that I had met, you know, that were Buckeye fans, and they ended up getting into it with these other guys, and I inadvertently, on purpose, said something, right? Because, you know, we were all, you know, defending the cause there, and one of the guys decided to say something back. So he basically told me to go screw myself, and he called me a fat Santa, which, right, if the adrenaline wasn't running through, right, I would have said something much wittier, because has anyone ever seen a skinny Santa?
No. Right?
Like, isn't that redundant?
Yeah, it is redundant.
Yeah. I wish I would have, you know, to your point, been calm enough to say something intelligent, but...
There's no anorexic Santas, you know?
There aren't, you know, I probably shot back some, you know, F-bomb diatribe. Speaking of which, F-bomb diatribes, Ari, that Lee Ilya thing had me on the floor.
Yeah, I think I sent you the sort of stuff too, but anybody go on YouTube, Dan is talking, when we had lunch this week, we were talking about Lee Ilya having a meltdown in 83, he was the Cubs manager. And it just, it something I had said reminded me of it, you know, we get hotter than whatever. But it was just this great diatribe where Lee Ilya is just, you know, back in those days, prior to 89, Wrigley only played day games because they didn't have lights. And so Lee Ilya, the team's terrible. I mean, they got Ryan Sandberg, but the team's still terrible. And he's like, you know, it was a whole thing. It's like 85% of the people work and the people unemployed are in the stands, you know.
It was great.
Yeah, so I encourage anybody who loves baseball and loves diatribe. And I think we brought it up. I think maybe I brought it up because we were talking about Hal McCray.
Yes.
Yeah, he had the meltdown when he was the Royals manager, and Hal McCray is going to be our guest at May 3rd in Kansas City. So, yeah.
Lamenting the bygone days of manager blow-ups.
Explosions.
Yes. Just don't see him anymore.
Well, AJ Hinch had that whole thing with the balls and strikes this week, but he was actually in the right. He wasn't even melting down though. Did you see that? He got called out for balls and strikes, and the umpire called a strike, and I mean, it almost hit the ground. That's how bad it was.
That's one of those things where you've got no latitude.
You got no latitude, and
right?
You know,
isn't that an instant ejection?
Yeah, and he, you know, he basically says, he basically told Hinch, I'll do whatever I want to do. And, you know, when you have an umpire like that, eventually what's going to happen is they're going to replace the umpire with computers.
It's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
Who's leading that charge? Isn't it,
The Atlantic League. Atlantic League is going to do some test runs for MLB.
He's on MLB. He used to be, an Oakland A.
LaRussa? No.
Captain America was his nickname, wasn't it? He was a ball player. He's an ultra marathoner now. He runs like 100-mile races.
Beats me.
Oh, come on. This is going to drive me nuts. He was an outfielder, scrappy guy, blonde hair. Probably played 15 years ago.
No.
Nothing?
Oakland A's. Blonde hair.
Oakland A's.
You got Canseco. You had Ricky Henderson.
This is gonna drive me nuts. I'll text you later when I remember.
No problem. So we'll mention it next week. So I guess this is for this week's episode. Until next time, it's Dan and I.
Until next time.
Yeah, we're signing off. Take care.
Have a good weekend, guys. Go Michigan State.
Bye.